We'll have Woj, Richard Jefferson, Ramona Shelburne, Nick Friedell in a minute, but we start with the NBA schedule release. Opening week was released on Tuesday, but the first marquee NBA game is October 19th. Circle that date when the Bucks get their rings in Fiserv Forum on TMT and when they host the Nets in an epic rematch of that seven-game series. And we also learned of the Christmas Day games headlined by the Nets and Lakers in primetime on ABC. That's one of five games on Christmas, including Trae Young back in MSG, Luka versus Donovan Mitchell, the Celtics-Bucks, Warriors-Suns, and concluding with Luka versus Donovan Mitchell on ESPN. And that leads us to our ABC primetime Saturday games, seven of the biggest matchups of the season, including Lakers-Warriors, meeting up on both February the 12th and March 5th. KD's return to Golden State with fans is featured along with the champion Bucks, Sixers, and Knicks. We got a lot going on. We now welcome in ESPN insider Adrian Wojnarowski. We just saw the marquee games as the NBA begins its 75th anniversary, Woj. And the 75th anniversary brings in a new NBPA president in Portland, CJ McCollum. You just interviewed him for recently for an upcoming episode of the Woj Pod. What did you learn about his duties and his current relationship with Dame Lillard?
Malika, listen, this is going to be, as CJ McCollum takes over for Chris Paul, you know, there's a lot on the docket as the new president of the Players Association. You know, there's an ongoing search to hire a new executive director to replace Michelle Roberts, who's planning on retiring. And then there's a looming collective bargaining negotiation with the league, and that's certainly going to shape what the NBA looks like for years to come. And so those are at the very top of the list for CJ McCollum. But in the shorter term, as the Blazers get ready to think about heading back to training camp, I talked to CJ in the podcast about the conversations he's having and continues to have with Dame Lillard. Listen, they talk almost every day, every other day, and he talks about being really confident about how Dame feels about being back in Portland this year, about being committed to this team, and he fully expects, you know, he's starting the season with Dame Lillard, and this is a team in Portland, if healthy, you know, that is going to be a significant contender in the Western Conference.
Oh, I certainly look forward to listening to that full conversation that you had with CJ McCollum on the Woj Pod. There's going to be a lot of interesting stuff in there. But Woj, the defending champion Bucks, they're going to face the Suns in a finals rematch as part of our ABC Sunday showcase on March 6th. One of nine games ABC will broadcast on Sunday afternoons, including the Nets, Celtics, Mavericks, Hawks, reigning MVP Nikola Jokic, and more. But as the Bucks prepare for a title defense, Woj, what do they still want to accomplish this offseason?
Well, Malika, their roster's set, and they were able to keep Bobby Portis, you know, certainly who could have left in free agency. You know, that was certainly an important player for this team to keep. But beyond that, Mike Budenholzer, their head coach, he's got a year left on his deal. And, you know, we talked about this all season, Malika, that his future in Milwaukee was going to be determined by results. Well, he delivered a championship. And so I think the Bucks and Budenholzer, you know, they started to discuss a contract extension that takes them beyond next season together. And I think, listen, the Bucks want Mike Budenholzer back. He wants to continue as coach of the Bucks. I think he told Zach Lowe on his podcast he'd like a 25-year contract. But I think those conversations are ongoing. I don't think it'll be that long of a deal. But certainly it's a priority for the Bucks to get that wrapped up.
Well, maybe not 25 years, but this is an exciting time for Milwaukee, especially considering the conversation surrounding Mike Budenholzer all of last season. But while we have you here, Woj, you broke some news this morning involving the extension of Robert Williams with the Celtics. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, 4 years, $54 million. Mm. Robert Williams' agent, Kevin Bradbury with Rep 1 Sports, tells me. And listen, this is for a young player in Boston who I think they really believe his best days are ahead of him. And certainly staying healthy and on the court are going to be important for him. But this is a player who gets a deal now that puts him in the top half financially of the centers in the league. You know, he's only started 16 games in his career, but you saw last year the way he can dominate around the rim. They've got the extension done with Marcus Smart, and you start to see this core now around Jaylen Brown and, of course, Jason Tatum that Brad Stevens, as the new president GM, is putting together. And now Robert Williams, 4 years, $54 million on his rookie extension.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's really good stuff, Woj. Thank you so much for joining
us.
I look forward to listening to that podcast with CJ McCollum on the Woj Pod later today. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we saw the Warriors. They were heavily featured in the ABC Saturday primetime slate. But before Christmas, they still have road games against the Lakers, the Nets, the Knicks, and the Celtics as we welcome in Nick Friedell, Richard Jefferson, and Ramona Shelburne. We'll start with Ramona. As Klay Thompson continues his rehab from his Achilles injury, Ramona, what's the latest that you have heard there?
Well, he's doing well in his recovery, but the Warriors are targeting that Christmas Day game against the Suns for his return. Now, he could come back a little bit before that, but in terms of getting his conditioning right, they're targeting the Christmas Day game against the Suns. I know that sounds a little late to people, but he was injured on November 18th.
So
this is 13 months from an Achilles injury.
So Christmas Day, that is when Klay Thompson, the Warriors are targeting him to be back. What needs to happen? What are they looking at as factors there?
A lot of this is conditioning. Okay, he's doing well in his rehab, but he's missed two seasons in a row now. And so you don't bring him back. And this is a conservative target. If he does well and his conditioning is up and he feels like he wants to come back earlier, he will. But this is a conservative target at Christmas Day because you need time to build your conditioning back up when you miss two NBA seasons.
Yeah, well, and when we're looking at someone who recently tore their Achilles and Kevin Durant, 561 days he missed between when he tore his Achilles and when he came back. And potentially that longer timeline, we saw that help him in being able to come back at full speed, Nick.
Very much so. And this is the key with Klay. The Warriors are going to take every precaution necessary. It goes exactly to what Ramona is saying now. The Warriors knew all along that this season was going to be judged on getting Klay back, getting the rust knocked off, helping him find his rhythm, and then getting him hopefully ready for the postseason. And Malika, the key for them is months and months away. They're going to make sure he's ready when he's out there. And as we saw from the schedule, the Steph Show is alive and well on the national TV schedule because that's all anybody wants to see all the time. But they know it begins and ends with Klay. If they want a legit chance to get back into the top of the Western Conference, he's got to be healthy and he's got to be ready to roll.
Well, and Richard, you were talking about Klay as just one of the silent assassins of the Warriors. What's the difference that you see there for them when he is on the floor?
Well, there is, like to the next point, there's no place that you can be with the Warriors if you don't have Klay Thompson. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Steph is amazing. Steph is all-world, first ballot, all the things. But with Steph and the supporting lineup, even with Draymond being an all-NBA guy, like, you have to have Klay to make that engine run. So if he doesn't play till December, if he doesn't play till January, whatever it is, take your time. But the one thing I will say, the difference between him and Kevin Durant is that Kevin Durant had the luxury of not going to the bubble and then having that a later start to an NBA season. So he was well into his injury recovery for months longer. So I think there was a little bit less apprehension with him as there will be with Klay.
Malika, there's 32 games, though, between the start of the season and Christmas. If he doesn't get back before Christmas, that's a big chunk of the season.
Right.
The Warriors, we had this idea, Klay's coming back this year. Well, Klay's coming back 32 games into the season.
Right, so needs a little bit of time. It's a serious injury you need some time to recover from. But someone else coming back. Kevin Durant's return to Golden State last season was in an empty arena. But on January the 29th, circle that, January 29th on ABC, Durant should receive a much louder reception from the Chase Center faithful, which Chase Center faithful, I'm not sure that's been developed yet. But Nick, what are you looking forward to most about that matchup?
The intensity is going to be overflowing. And they all respect and love Kevin for what he did, but guys, there was some acrimony in the way it ended, and I think that the fan base always wanted to love Kevin, but maybe not love him as much as.
But this ain't the Oakland fan base.
Yeah,
as I'm sitting here next to an Oakland person.
That's right.
This ain't the Oakland fan base. This is the San Francisco.
Yeah.
This is the corporate fan base. Like, no disrespect, they pay a lot of money, but this ain't the same, you know, gritty, like, Oakland people that are coming for you. It's a different group, so I think it's a little bit less. Like, intense.
It'll be distinguished hating on.
Look, if there's going to be any cupcakes in the arena, I'm sure they'll be like very fancy.
Oh, they're going to charge $12 for those cupcakes, baby.
Like, you don't worry about going to Duke and like all of a sudden it's like, oh no, the crowd's intense. It's like, yeah, but it's Duke.
Look, the Warriors have gone out of their way to make sure that Kevin Durant is embraced and his time with the franchise is celebrated. I remember we've all taken tours of the Chase Center.
Beautiful.
We haven't really been fans there that much, but they have him on the wall. Like, they are celebrating celebrating his time with the team. I know he's had some recent comments that you know, calling out Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, but have you heard a peep from them?
No.
No response from the Warriors?
There's a reason why.
Yeah.
There's a reason why.
That's sort of who they are as an organization, yeah. Right? That's sort of what I've heard. And in their response is sort of like, I'm just sitting at my desk. This
right.
Is
I mean,
what we're this is what we're doing.
This is not a Taylor Swift breakup song. Okay. This is, they're fine.
But I would want to hear that if it was.
Yeah. I know. If anybody could find something,
I've never heard one.
Well, we can have Nick go. You can go off and you can work on writing that. Oh, thank you so much for joining us for a bit today, Nick, to talk about these Warriors. We appreciate that. I look forward to you reporting back with that homework.
I'll be ready to roll.
Giving us a few bars of that. On February 27th and March 6th, the NBA will showcase 4 games, 2 on ABC and 2 on ESPN. Richard, you're a busy man. Can you keep those dates open for us? Or are you going to be on like 6 games?
I kid you not, growing up, you know, when we were watching the Bulls and then yeah. It was the Celtics and then it was the Knicks and then you would have you would get quadruple headers. Triple headers were nothing. You get quadruple headers. So I think this is awesome. It really kind of gets you to like just sit down.
Okay.
And it's just basketball all day. It's amazing.
Ramona and I are going to make sure to send you a save the date, but
yes. I like that the Pelicans are in these games. They're not on Christmas.
It's not Pelicans. It's Zion's in these games. There's a difference.
That's
I'm glad to see Zion in these games.
The Jump is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
A hallmark of the NBA schedule is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. This year on January the 17th, it's featuring the Bulls and the Grizzlies and a conference finals rematch between the Hawks and the Bucks on TNT. And then the Jazz Lakers serves us as the nightcap on NBA TV. And we now welcome in senior writer for the Undefeated, Mark Spears. And Mark, what does the NBA's approach to showcasing the league on MLK Day, what does that mean to you?
Oh man, it's one of the most beautiful weekends in basketball. You're talking about a celebration in Atlanta, a celebration in Memphis. I've been able the last 5 years to be a part of the Grizzlies celebration, which includes a symposium, awards given, a game obviously on Monday. It's a whole weekend celebration, and they take everybody to the Civil Rights Museum, which is certainly emotional and amazing. And then the Hawks do a great job too, of highlighting Martin Luther King and, you know, down the street from where he used to preach. And obviously their MLK jerseys are super fire. People are buying them. So I implore anybody who hasn't been to one of these games in Memphis or Atlanta, and now they got good opponents this time around too, and their teams are good, to go to Memphis, go to Atlanta, and enjoy MLK weekend from an NBA standpoint.
Well, and in order to understand where we're going, we have to understand where we've been. And that's such an important part of history in this country, black history in this country. Ja Morant will be featured on MLK Day and will also go head-to-head with fellow 2019 draftee and former AAU teammate Zion Williamson 4 times, including March 8th on TNT, after Morant led Memphis into the postseason. Mark, how have you seen things between the Zion and Ja rivalry leading into year 3?
It hasn't gotten off the ground because they're homies. Like, they were AAU teammates. They're both from South Carolina.
Yeah.
When one of them has a good game, they tweet out, oh, did you see what my boy did? You know, so, and they haven't really played each other that much because of the pandemic and injuries. So, yeah, I think it's amazing that 2 South Carolina kids who've known each other since they were like pre-teens were 1 and 2 in the draft. But until they play in the postseason and like, look, they're trading jerseys. This ain't no rivalry. This is a brotherhood.
This is a celebration.
Unless they play in the postseason, I don't really see it become some dangerous rivalry, you know?
Well, and John Morant's dad, T. Morant, whenever you ask him about his son's relationship with Zion, that's exactly what he'll say. He'll say, I watch Zion's games. I'm cheering him on. This is a family thing that's going on here.
Exactly.
But as Zion and Ja build their history, 2 Lakers, they could move past some historical names on the all-time scoring list. LeBron needs to have just over 1,500 points to pass Karl Malone for 2nd all-time in NBA scoring, and Carmelo Anthony is only 40 away from passing Moses Malone for 4th all-time. Mark, you covered these players extensively even since before their rookie years. What do these potential milestones reveal about LeBron and Melo?
Well, first it reveals their longevity, but I'm happy for both of them. It's amazing to get into that top 10 tier, and LeBron certainly has a chance to be number one. But Malika, in 2003, if you told me these two guys were going to be teammates, I would have never guessed that. They were rivals. It was LeBron versus Melo. I still remember being at that game in Cleveland the first time they played, and Earl Boykin stole the show, and the Nuggets beat, you know, Cavaliers. And there's a lot of talk about back then about Melo should have been Rookie of the Year, and it was supposed to be them. And then Melo's career started slow. LeBron skyrocketed. Dwayne Wade became that guy that was kind of the rival. Then Kevin Durant came there and did his thing and became LeBron's rival. So to see them now as teammates, it's just kind of strange, because in the beginning, it was built to be this Bird versus Magic thing that was going to last 20 years. And their careers are lasting 20 years. But now they're teammates, which I definitely wouldn't have guessed that in the beginning.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun to sort of see that evolved. I really appreciate you stopping by, hanging out with us a little bit, Mark. I want to go to Ramona Shelburne. She has covered this a whole bunch. She covered all of these guys as we welcome in Dave McMenamin, our NBA reporter. But I do want to go to you first, Ramona. How have you seen that relationship evolve over the years?
Well, you know, what's fun about the Melo, you know, what he's, how he's setting up here, is the Lakers have had a chance to get Melo on their team a couple of times over the last few years. It's been brought up, it's been reported, and this is the year they finally did it. And you got the sense that it's because he proved that he can be exactly the kind of player they need on this team. I mean, in the past, there was questions, would he be willing to play a bench role? Would he be willing to be that elder statesman? He did that up in Portland. And to think that he's gone from being out of the league, where people were on, so I can't believe Melo's not in the league right now, to now being on a team that has a realistic shot at a championship, that's incredible.
Absolutely. And we're seeing history sort of being written here, Dave. How do you see Russell Westbrook, him coming in with this LaMelo, with Melo, LeBron, Russell Westbrook adding on top of that? How do you see that evolving?
Well, I think just concentrating on Melo and LeBron for a second, both them being in year 19, 36, 37 years old, they've redefined what a prime is considered to be in the NBA. It used to be like, anecdotally, you hit 27, you've been in the league 4 or 5 years, and then you can go 27 to 31.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron's prime has been the last 15 years. Now, Melo might be a little bit on the downturn, but it's remarkable in that sense, and then remarkable for the Lakers franchise sense. Look at that top 10 list. 7 out of 10 wore the purple and gold. So the Lakers franchise, they not only collect rings, but they collect kind of the superheroes of the game. They've at some point worn the Lakers uniform.
Well, yeah, and when the Lakers call, you typically answer it. And to your point, Ramona, I said years ago when Carmelo was going through this, and when he finally signed with Portland, I said it, I was like, look, he's auditioning to be on a championship team.
Yep. Mm.
People didn't buy that. Like, and look, I know there was clips, and I think that Carmelo deserved to be in the league that entire time. But understand, there's 450 players in the NBA. It's not the 450 best players in the world. There's players that fit roles. There's players that fit opportunities. There's tons of guys that don't have jobs, that will never have jobs, that are probably still 450 best. Isaiah Thomas, Jamal Crawford. If you were to list the players in the world, they would still crack those numbers. With Carmelo, he proved by, instead of saying, hey, look, these guys want me to come off the bench at his press conference in Oklahoma City during media day, to now he's like, I'm willing to accept any role. And once you change your mind frame to I'm willing to accept any role, now all of a sudden the Lakers are like, well, maybe he can come and fit a role here versus like, well, if Carmelo comes, now we got to deal with this and you got this situation. So I think he did a great job working the last two years to get to this point, to be in an opportunity to fight for a championship.
Well, and that's what Carmelo was saying at his opening press conference, right? He said that I wasn't totally sure whether or not at different points it would have been the right time. But LeBron said now is the right time. He's changed his mindset. He's changed his mentality. He said, I'm willing to play a role. He's grown up a little bit, and it took some maturing and changing. But Ramona, thank you so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. Always love chatting with you. Remember, season single game tickets and memberships are now on sale across the NBA. So go to NBAtickets.com for more info. Thank you again to Ramona. And coming up, rapper, actor, filmmaker, Woo! Big Three co-founder, and Lakers superfan Ice Cube is joining us next on The Jump. Our next guest is a multi-platinum recording artist. He's also an actor, producer, writer, and he's the co-founder of the Big Three, Ice Cube. Welcome back to The Jump.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
We're happy to have you here. Let's get to it. Let's get to the Big Three and the playoffs, consolation game, and the Big Three championship game will be held at the Atlantis Paradise Island in the Bahamas with games on August 28th and September 4th. You said recently, though, that this is the hardest endeavor you've undertaken in your career and that this league is still clawing for respect, but said that folks will, quote, respect the league soon. So what do you believe is the key to closing that respect gap?
Just continue to put great games on. You know, our league is very competitive. It's basketball like most of us remember playing it, you know, a little physical in the paint. And so I just think, you know, it's just continue to put the best athletes that want to play this game, continue to put them on the court, let them do their thing. And, you know, it's like you build it and they will come. And, you know, so that's really what it's all about. You know, I don't think anything else is, you know, a factor. You know, it's just keep doing what we're doing and do it better every year.
You build it and they will come. I like that. The Big Three has had coaches like Lisa Leslie, Nancy Lieberman. I'm curious, when do you believe that there will be a woman who is a head coach in the NBA?
As soon as they catch up with the Big Three.
Talk to them.
We the case study, you know, so there's no reason to put 1,000 different studies on this. You know, just look at the success that Lisa Leslie, Nancy Lieberman having in our league, some of the best coaches in our league.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So, you know, they can look at what we're doing. And like I said, they can catch up whenever they're ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Cube, man, first respect. I was at your first Big Three game in Brooklyn, and you guys have grown a lot from them, so congratulations on that. But I got to bring you back to your Lakers. Westbrook's coming back home. You got Melo in uniform now. What is your expectation, and what do you think about all this hate about the age of the team?
You know, I don't think the Lakers are worried about that. There's nothing wrong with bringing in two hungry superstars into your organization. You know, they still want those championships. I don't know if they've ever been closer to getting a championship than they have now. So they just got to do their thing. You know, LeBron, Anthony Davis, they already proved they can do it. Now it's really up to Westbrook, Carmelo, to show what they can do to bring a championship to the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's true. Now, I have a big question here for you. Nets are going head-to-head on Christmas Day. One, what is your expectations? And two, it's not a big game unless the stars are there. So will you be in attendance on Christmas Day? Have you got the tickets? Have you got the approval from Wifey? Like, what's the story?
I mean, for one, I don't need no approval.
Talk to him. That was a setup.
Two, you know, I've been a suite holder in the Staples Center for ever since it was still rubble in the ground. So, you know, I definitely plan on being there.
Okay.
You know, it's really all about, you know, hopefully getting in the building and feeling that energy. You know, COVID is still crazy. So, you know, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Good.
Well, Cube, I also wanted to say, man, if you got an extra seat on that private jet to the Bahamas, you know, let a brother know, man. Yeah, but look, your boy Dr. Dre said Inglewood's up to no good. And today there was a tweet with Magic in Inglewood talking about the Clippers building an arena and asking people if they knew about this. I had to ask you, man. What's your thought about that?
I mean, it's disappointing. I mean, I do want the Clippers to get out the Lakers building. But I thought they would go to Seattle. Don't Seattle need a team? Bad. The Seattle Clippers sound good. The Las Vegas Clippers sound good.
Jeez, San Diego.
Yeah, wow. Back to San Diego.
Back to San Diego. Okay, so Cube is trying
taking to get them all the way
all
out.
The plays, all the any way place out. That the Clippers can go, and I respect that, Cube. Now, look, Dame Lillard just dropped an album, and in your eyes, you've seen a lot of rappers trying to play ball, a lot of ballers trying to rap. Who do you think is the best NBA player turned rapper?
I mean, nobody has surpassed what Shaq has done as a rapper.
Multi-platinum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, he got hardware. So, mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's kind of apples and oranges. You know, if you can if you can rap, you can rap. It has nothing to do with if you can play basketball or not, and vice versa. So, you know, Dame is dope. Mm. You know, I like him as a rapper. You know what I mean? I like to hear his flow and how he put it together. So, but, you know, Shaq got the hardware.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's
absolutely
fair.
I mean, he's got the stuff to back it up. But before we let you go, Cube, and you said I can call you that now, I don't have to call you Mr. Cube like I did off air. I want to ask you, speaking of rappers, about Nipsey Hussle. On Monday, 30 for 30 podcast and The Undefeated present The King of Crenshaw, a 4-episode podcast series on Nipsey. How do you remember him and some of the moments that you shared with him?
You know, Nipsey, I didn't know him that good. You know, I knew him, you know, on and off. I saw him coming up in the rap game, really trying to get his feet wet. And I just loved his tenacity. You know, he really, really stayed on his grind and really started to, you know, reach the heights that he envisioned himself earlier in his career. You know, earlier he was... you know, he was just learning the game, a lot coming at him. And later I just saw the maturity and just saw him blow up as an artist respected in L.A. So I just always had respect for, you know, what he had accomplished up until this point. And to see him, you know, murdered like that, you know, it's just sad for it to happen in his own neighborhood.
Absolutely. He was certainly someone who meant a whole lot to a bunch of NBA players, a bunch of folks around the NBA community. Cube, thank you so much for your time. We're definitely going to be tuning into the Big Three as the championship approaches. This is going to be exciting stuff.
Yeah, 3 weeks left. You know, check us out. You know, football, I haven't started yet. Summer league over. Come on and hang with the Big Three for these 3 weeks. The best fireball you're going to see.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to that fireball. Thank you so much, Cube. Coming up, when is Kyle Lowry headed back to the six as an opposing player? Find out that and more as we reveal some notable reunion games in this next segment. But first, here's what The Jump recommends for today. He actually had our good friend Perk as a guest on the Road Trip and Podcast with Channing Frye and Ali Clifton. It went exactly like you think it would. Take a listen.
Still eating them turkey legs?
I'm eating everything in sight. I had Popeyes today.
Dog, what are you doing, Perk?
Yeah, what Perk? Don't let him fat shame you.
Well, I'm not worried.
You are beautiful in the Lord's eyes.
Like, this dude.
I actually feel like since our last podcast, which was in 2020 with you, you've slimmed down.
I lost.
Go ahead and say it, Perk. Tell me what I said to you yesterday.
I lost 9 pounds.
That's a start. Everyone's
what did I say, Perk? What did I tell you?
Congratulations for skipping the meal a day.
Nike is releasing a new LeBron 18 next week, ooh, celebrating Diana Taurasi, dubbed the GOAT Vision, and featuring her career achievements. The insoles have basketballs and a GOAT hybrid logo. What, Richard, are you rocking these?
These are
what's going
fire.
On? So that's a yes.
Look, I'm still mad. Like, shout out to Bron and Nike, but I'm still mad that there is no signature shoe for a female. You have her and Sue Bird. They just won 5 gold medals. Mm-hmm. Like, how many accomplishments? And right. Sometimes it's not always about, like, oh, well, how many shoes they sell? No, it's about representing a market. It's about representing females and what they have brought to us.
Back in the day, Cheryl Swoops had one.
She did. She had her first one.
I think it's just cool. LeBron and Diana have had this cool like camaraderie for years. They played in Olympic summers together. And I remember when she became the WNBA all-time leading scorer, LeBron shouted her out. And she was wearing LeBron sneakers then when she set that accomplishment.
Yeah, I dig it.
Here's a look at some of the notable reunion games on the schedule. I love these. Blake Griffin, John Wall, and KD. Those guys played back in their former cities. But last year, remember, there weren't any fans at those games. So that will definitely add a different layer to this season when arenas are back at full capacity. Please, folks, still remember to mask up. But we welcome back to The Jump. I am joined now by ESPN NBA reporter Tim Bontemps. Thanks so much for being here, Tim.
Hey, great to be here. Though following Ice Cube are pretty big shoes to fill, so we'll see how I do.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But I think you got this. So for most of last season's games, we didn't have fans, but your reporting didn't stop. You had to cover games on the return. And so now that we're more likely to see full crowds at the arenas this season, how does that enhance the experience of seeing someone like Kyle Lowry return to Toronto?
Well, yeah, Malika, I think it's really important that the NBA is getting fans back for all sorts of reasons, but this is probably the biggest one. You know, if Kyle Lowry had gone to the Miami Heat last offseason and had gone to play his first game, quote-unquote, back in Toronto, in Tampa, with a few fans in the building, that would have been a real disappointment, right? Masai Ujiri earlier this week, you know, I think correctly said Kyle Lowry's the greatest Raptor of all time.
Yeah.
And for him to get a chance to go back to Toronto at Scotiabank Arena, where they haven't had games in over a year and a half now, to be able to celebrate that kind of moment with the fans there, I think is a really big deal. And, you know, there's going to be other situations like that around the league, too. Last year, the Boston Celtics were supposed to retire Kevin Garnett's jersey. They waited to do that because of the pandemic and the fact fans were going to be there. And they just announced a couple of minutes ago that they're going to have his jersey retirement ceremony on March 13th at Boston Garden on ABC, with the Boston Celtics facing the Dallas Mavericks, with his coach for the Brooklyn Nets, Jason Kidd, ironically in the building for that game. So it's really great that we're going to be able to see moments like that celebrated with fans again. Because like you said, we were both at games last year where there were no fans in the building and the atmosphere just wasn't there. And it's really cool that we're going to be able to have those kind of group celebrations again with, like you said, everybody hopefully masking up and doing what they need to do.
Well, the players, they absolutely felt that difference in energy. We saw Drake say, right, that Kyle Lowry, he's probably going to get a statue in his name at some point.
Yep.
And then with Minnesota, well, we haven't seen them retire Garnett's jersey yet. So potentially with an ownership change, we could see that in the future, too. Who knows, right? But after a disappointing season that saw them get swept in the first round, Pat Riley and the Miami Heat, they traded for Kyle Lowry to bolster their already tough-minded roster. Tim, what are your thoughts on that addition and how you see it working out?
Well, Malika, this is like what we talked about yesterday when in that offseason survey, executives around the league thought that the Kyle Lowry move to Miami was the best one of the offseason. And it's just a perfect fit. You know, everybody I have talked to about Kyle, and you know him well like I do, he is a definitional Miami Heat player. Yeah. He's a tough, hard-nosed, gritty guy, two-way player, is a really close friend of Jimmy Butler, which I think is important. He's going to walk in and immediately have Jimmy's respect and trust on the court, which is really important. And he just, I think, is going to make that team really go. You know, one guy who struggled a bit last year, Tyler Hero, after his really impressive play that we saw in the bubble.
Yeah.
I think guys like him and Duncan Robinson are also going to be really benefited by having a true point guard like Kyle Lowry, getting them the ball in the right spot. So I love the fit of Kyle in Miami. It feels like it's something that's been destined to happen. And it really, to me, puts the Heat up there in the conversation with the Bucks and Nets atop the Eastern Conference.
When we talk so much about Heat culture, Kyle Lowry already kind of was bringing Heat culture to the Heat. So it's a kind of a seamless folding that we could see there. The Blazers and the Sixers, they play each other twice in the first month of the season on November 1st and then again on November 20th. Tim, the names Ben Simmons, Dame Lillard, they've been linked to each other a lot lately. Which, if either, will still be on their respective teams when those games happen?
I mean, my guess right now is they'll both be with their current teams, and that's going to make for a couple of games, like you said, in November, Malika, where no one's going to be talking about the games, right? Everyone's going to be talking about, will Dame Lillard be traded to Philly? Will Ben Simmons be moved on? What would it look like if they're on each other's teams? What would it look like if they're other places? Because like you said, Dame Lillard's name has been the number one name atop everybody's discussions about who is the next star that's going to get traded. And after Ben Simmons whiffed on that dunk in particular in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals against the Atlanta Hawks, his future in Philly has been in doubt ever since then, right? So they have been talked about on and on and on as we've gone through this offseason. And if they're still playing for their teams in those games, you better believe it that all anybody's going to be focused on is where their next teams are going to be in those matchups. There's going to be very little talk about what those two teams are doing on the court.
Absolutely. We did hear Adrian Wojnarowski share that CJ McCollum, Dame Lillard's teammate, joined him on the Woj pod. That's coming out today. And CJ McCollum said that he sort of expects to be teammates with Damian Lillard, at least to start this season, and they're in constant communication. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate the time.
Great to be here.
So we saw Tim's thoughts on the Miami and Philly out east, but Richard, the conference is already looking a lot tougher than it did when the season ended. Which teams do you see challenging the Nets and the Bucks?
Ooh, that's tough because those are, you know, obviously you're talking about the defending champions and probably the team that's favored to win a championship this year. I do like Miami. I think Miami maybe can't beat both teams, but they definitely could upset one of them if they get hot and get going. Outside of that, it starts, you know, Philly, I think they got way too many answers. Are there any other teams in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think Philly, if there is a trade for someone like Dame Lillard, like, they're automatically in the conference.
It's a big if.
Yeah, of course it's an if, but I think there's a lot of ifs beyond the Bucks and the Nets, because the Bucks and Nets have already proven themselves to be so good last year. I guess the other two teams I'd go to beyond the Philly and Miami would be Boston. Mm-hmm. And Boston, I would be including them if they were to make a trade for someone like a Bradley Beal. And then the Hawks. I mean, the Hawks were in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago.
Don't. You're making faces, Richard.
No,
you're making faces.
No, because this
has to be included in the conversation, the potential.
Well, this is the thing about it, is that two of the teams that you said probably need to make a trade to compete. Miami doesn't need to make a trade. Yeah. I think you would look at them as like the singular team that, like, as constructed, I don't know if they could beat both, but they definitely could upset one. And then I think I'm curious to see what Atlanta does now that, you know, it's not the same type of season, very similar to what some of the bubble teams did.
Sure.
Right? You see these guys go out and play great, play outstanding. They just kind of had a magical run. I would consider their run very similar to the Phoenix Suns' run. Young, played better than a lot of people expected, even though you knew that they were great players. So I just think every other team needs to do something versus the three teams constructed as is. It's the Nets, it's the Bucks, and then I think Miami would be right there.
I agree with that.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. It does seem like Miami is one of those teams that just took a huge step. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anyone was necessarily expecting to see them get swept the way that they quite did in the first round against the Bucks, especially considering how Miami played the Bucks in the bubble. But that just goes to show you how unique of an environment the bubble was. Some injuries took a toll there, but you know Jimmy Butler.
He'll be back.
He will be back. Speaking of being back, nobody can beat us. That's what James Harden said about the Brooklyn Nets. We'll get into that after the break.
Oh.
Nobody can beat us. According to our Jeff Passan, this just in, Giannis is purchasing a minority stake in the Milwaukee Brewers. And this is kind of like what Patrick Mahomes did with owning a small piece of the Kansas City Royals. So congratulations to Giannis. Take me out to the ball game. What do you guys think?
I think it's awesome, 100%. Buy all the teams, because if one thing that I think the last 30 years have told us, there's one very good return on your money, and that's investment in sports teams. Like, the percentage that they go up every 5 years, 10 years, TV deals, marketing deals. So I think it's smart for players to get in.
I think this further solidifies his relationship with the city of Milwaukee.
Yep.
He already signed the max extension to stay there, won the championship, first championship for the Bucks in 50 years, and now he's one of the guys who is responsible for the baseball team, and they love their Brewers there.
And truly, if you get a couple $100 million contracts a few times, you know,
it's a few like, times, and you can afford that. Sort
you know,
of thing.
You can be like Bron. You can buy some of Liverpool. You can buy some of the Red Sox. You know,
Kevin Durant's getting into that
Kevin's
now.
Kevin Durant,
yeah, we're seeing more and more of this.
Billionaire, you know, married to a billionaire like Serena Williams, your daughter can be the youngest owner in the history of professional sports. It's great. It's beautiful.
Well, this is a trend that we're seeing, but I absolutely agree with you, Dave. And that's the thing about Patrick Mahomes and the Royals. It's investing in those small markets too, and so that love that you see, that relationship in those type of cities, maybe Richard, you know it in Cleveland, I don't know how much they really liked you.
Indians. They weren't even.
They weren't even Indians. Well, let's get to crunch time. Enough about Richard Jefferson here.
the most notable games for the Nuggets this season. Reigning MVP Nikola Jokic became the first Nuggets player to win the award and the first center since Shaq in 2000. So, Richard, do you expect to see the Joker repeat as league MVP this year?
No, but I do expect him to be a first-team All-NBA-er. I do believe that he'll be, like, I think he was on pace before the injuries to Embiid, to Harden, to Bron, to be a first-team All-NBA-er. So I expect that, just not an MVP.
A big reason he won the award last year was the way he played and had the Nuggets continue to win without
Jamal Murray
in the lineup. But this year, he'll have to start that momentum without Murray. And obviously, Murray got him going last year, so I don't think he wins it again. But again, he's one of the handful of truly great players in today's game.
And he'll certainly be in the conversation. Here are the Nets' notable matchups for this upcoming season. Richard, in an interview with Sports Illustrated, James Harden said, quote, "At full strength, nobody can beat us." And Harden battled a hamstring injury for the latter part of last season. Kyrie sprained his right ankle in game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, missing the last 4 games of that series. According to Caesars Sportsbook, Brooklyn has the highest over-under win total at 54.5 games. So, Richard, it's okay. Well, do you know what this means? Is health the Nets' biggest threat?
100%. Yep. The only person that can beat them is them and their own bodies. If they are healthy and they are playing A-minus basketball, then they are pretty much unbeatable unless you have the Lakers 100% healthy playing the best basketball possible.
Like, I don't think it's the biggest threat. I think it's the only threat.
I don't think there's
another team out there that can compete with them at full strength. No. Like, I think they'll roll through the playoffs if they are at full strength.
Oh, and I think that they know that, right? When you listen to all the players that are talking over the course of the summer, whether it's ones that are new to the team, who have signed extensions, they have said, we know that we have expectations. We feel like we disappointed, and we want to be able to do something a little bit different. No.
It's not just, no, whatever it's, the, it is. It's not just the Nets that are saying this. The entire
it's
NBA.
Everybody. It's the worst kept secret in the NBA.
The entire NBA
Thanks
is like.
Everybody for joining us today and throughout the week. The Jump is dark until September 2nd, and we will see you all then.
Ooh,
Richard, I mean.
It. Almost made it.
Go for it. Oh, my
short.
God.
Come on,
this is why you're not
on,
in the league anymore.
Oh,
Dave made it. He's in the league.
No, you're not making it. You're lying because the camera's off. See how they do me